Of pure devotional services is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc., consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his position and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there. Arjuna was there and Krishna was there, but Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. The unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed to the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure, unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here the affection of Kunti Devi for the abundance of the Vrishnis was due to family relation. This time affection in terms of material relation is the relation of mind, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul, established in relation with the Supreme Soul, are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the divine medium of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seen, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else, which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of the darkness. Om Jati Manasya Gina Salakya Shakshuran Nitanyana Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sattvikam Yenantale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadavati Swakarantikam Vande Mansi Guru Sita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaisam Sya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaginoramatam Vitrakitam Sajivam Sadhitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagina Vitasi Satam Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Mujana Krite Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rama Kanta Namaskrite Tapta Kanchana Gorani Rane Rane Sri Vrishadana Sutake Brahma Mimikri Vancha Kapatu Vicha Kripa Sandhu Vicha Padikana Pani Vyogai Sri Vyamama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Kavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So devotional service is not a process of denial or denial of the self, denial of our qualities. Although in the process of sadhana bhakti, we temporarily have to give up certain desires. It is because the propensity is directed in the wrong direction. It is due to addiction to sense gratification. And somehow or other, due to addiction, we are turning to things that are the cause of suffering. And yet, we are attached. That is due to the illusory energy. So therefore, in devotional service, in practice, in sadhana bhakti, we have to control the senses. This dhamma means sense control. So sense control is an austerity, and that is where Rishabdev comes in with tapo divyam putrakti yena sattvam sujet yasmat brahma sugyam tanantam, or that we have to perform austerity, and that by doing so we can reach brahma sukha, transcendental. But austerity is a little helpful in the beginning in spiritual life. It is said through renunciation and austerity one can not really develop his love for Krishna. Austerity and renunciation are not limbs of bhakti. There are 64 limbs of bhakti identified in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And austerity and renunciation are not amongst them. So all the austerity in the world will not give us any attachment to Krishna. Or all
renunciation will not actually bring us closer to Krishna. It is simply that austerity and renunciation can create favorable conditions where we can cultivate our attraction to Krishna. Therefore, in our preaching, we do not have to immediately tell people in the first meeting, you know, there are four regulated principles, four, and if you don't follow those four, you're totally fallen and sinful and you'll go to hell. Yes. Just that you know it, right? No, we don't have to start like that. That comes later. That's advanced, you know, or the medium stage, one can say. The initial stage is simply engage in devotional service. Engage in chanting Hare Krishna. Or any service one can do. Because devotional service will purify us and gradually will make us more eligible to give up sinful life. Then the regulated principles come automatically and they begin to make sense. The other day I was discussing the topic of doubt, and doubts are relating to our desires. If we have a lot of material desires, then naturally we also want to have some doubts. The two go hand in hand. Doubts are convenient because if you doubt in Krishna consciousness, then you maybe don't have to follow it. How do I know that Krishna is really God? Great. Then I don't have to surrender to these impossible principles. How do I know that I can even do it? All right, I accept Krishna consciousness. But how do I know that I am able to make it in Krishna consciousness? Therefore, I better hold on to my sense gratification and then do a little service and see how it develops. So this is Kanista. And Manushya Nansahasve Su Kasti Yarti Siddhye Yadadamma Visidanam Kasti Nam Viditatvudaha. Out of many thousands among men, hardly one knows me in truth. And out of many thousands of those, very few will attain perfection. It means that in that verse we can see three types of devotees: the Kanista, the Maja, and the Uttama Vikari. And we see the Kanista Vikari is not very serious about dedicating himself to the process. He's sort of there, but in his mind he has already decided, well, you know, what can I do? You know, I am not so advanced yet. Therefore, dot, 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 fill in the blanks. Therefore, I can maintain some sense gratification. It's natural. I'm not so advanced. I'm not supposed to. I'm only new. No. One should immediately come to the Madhyamadhikari platform. In fact, on the first day in Krishna consciousness, we should become Madhyamadhikaris. The reason why we stay Kanista is because we want to maintain material desires. If we are serious from day one, then we'll just say, yes, I'm going to take this process very serious, and whatever Krishna asks, I will do. That is Madhyamadhikari. The Madhyamadhikari is ready. Whatever it says in scripture, yes, I will do it. So that takes courage and faith. We have to have the faith that Krishna is there and that Krishna surely will provide us with happiness. That is what it says. Shara sakta vishwas kahe sudrin nichai Krishna bhakti gaya sarvakam kritahai. That shraddha or faith means the firm conviction that if we engage in devotional service, that all good things will be attained. That is Madhyamadhikari conviction. And this is where we have to be. And anything below that is not really acting on the platform of a devotee.
Kanista Adhikari is sometimes described as Bhakta Abbas. So that translates as the dim reflection of a devotee. So, I mean, how does it feel to be a dim reflection of a devotee? Maybe, so it means not really dedicated. Still, the process of devotional service is powerful and will get purified, but we are rowing with the anchor in the ground. So it is difficult. Maybe we'll gradually pull the anchor a little bit as we keep on rowing and as the current takes us along, and in that way we'll make some progress, but very slowly. And that is the predicament, according to Bhagavad Gita, of many devotees. So this we have to... So sense gratification has to really be given up. Kunti Devi is praying, just as the Ganges is forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So, I like in this verse the word drawn, right? That we are drawn towards Krishna rather than pushing ourselves towards Krishna. Pushing ourselves towards Krishna has that element of forcing ourselves. Right? It is more based on determination. I'm going to be a devotee. I'm going to do it. I shall do it. I must do it. I will do it. I have to do it. I'm going to do it. And therefore tomorrow I'm going to get up at 2:00. I don't care about anything. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to take ice cold showers, and if they're not cold enough, I'll make them go and ice in the buckets. It has to be cold, right? And I'll eat, I'll fast every Ekadasi for sure, and I'll never drink a drop of water, even when I feel weak and sick, and even when I can hardly chant anymore, I cannot read anymore, I don't care, I will fast till I drop, because, you know, I shall and I will be Krishna conscious for sure. So this kind of approach, bordering fanaticism, is kind of very common, again. There is a lot of fanaticism in every spiritual movement, and ours is not any different in that respect. But plenty of it, plenty of fanaticism, and possibly, maybe there's even a little bit of fanaticism in us. So this verse is speaking about being drawn to Krishna, naturally drawn, being attracted to Krishna, appreciating actually that Krishna is indeed all attractive. So that is truly Krishna conscious. We are not known as the most austere. That is not our movement. Yogis in the Himalayas sometimes are undergoing much greater austerities than members of the Hare Krishna movement. Our austerity is there in devotional service, because austerity is a fundamental element of the material world. In the material world, there is no position that is without austerity. Even the demigods, who apparently have everything, still there is austerity, because still there is after all some suffering. There is still endeavor to be done. There is still sacrifice to be made. Right? Nothing comes automatic, as they say. Even the lion, although he is so powerful, still, for his eating, he has to hunt. It's not that the deers run into his mouth while he's sleeping. Deers run in.
to work. So that's the nature of the material world. So austerity is not something that exists in some positions and not in others. It exists in every position. In every position. So it just depends what kind of austerity do you like. For example, do you like the austerity of crying babies, or do you like the austerity of a dhamma? This is an example. Both have their austerities. Absolutely. There is no question of thinking that one is the austere position and the other one is not austere. Both are austere. And it's whatever you like at a different point in life. Fanaticism is where we are making austerity the focus. In fanaticism, we make austerity the focus and not Krishna. So, therefore, being drawn to Krishna means Krishna is the focus in our spiritual life. And remembrance of Krishna is our focus and our aim. We're trying to explore how Krishna is all attractive. It's not enough to say Krishna means all attractive. Bravo, bravo, well done. No, not good enough. How is Krishna all attractive? That is what we are exploring more and more. We have to find out how he's all attractive. Just like the color of Krishna, like a blackish, bluish rain cloud, known as Shyam, a color which is seen in the rainy season in India, when the sun is very, very bright. And because of the brightness of the sun at that time, the blue of the sky reflects in the dark clouds, and the clouds are very effulgent. So Krishna is very effulgent. Someone is saying, how can God be a blue boy? And give us a break, you know. I'm blue. But if you explore it more, that it's Shyam, then it already becomes much more mystical and maybe makes more sense. So the more we explore, take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. We begin at Krishna's lotus feet. In that way, we are bowing down. We're taking a humble position. Yes. And there's more to taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, because there are marks on Krishna's lotus feet, and each of them have a meaning and a message. There's a thunderbolt on Krishna's lotus feet for the devotee who thinks that, you know, my karma is so bad. Really. I mean, you know, what can you do? I just, bad luck. Everybody else, sort of bad karma, I know, we're often called a human, but mine, oh, it's bad, you know. I have Rahu, and I have bad Ketu, and I have bad, every bad planet. Saturn is bad also. It's just bad, 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 you know. And I'm in a bad period for many years, Gangeshwar said. My karma is so bad. It's just a mountain. It's insurmountable, my karma. I mean, can I do? It's not my fault that I'm struggling in spiritual life. It's my karma. It's such bad karma. Nothing I can do about it. But then there's a thunderbolt on Krishna's lotus feet. And with that thunderbolt, Krishna is smashing the mountain to pieces. Okay, what was that about your karma? Smashed. Okay. Yep, I understand. No, thank you, Krishna, for taking away this karma. And I would surrender to you. I would. I really would. No, I really would sincerely surrender to you. But And one other problem, and that's
my mind.
My mind. I know Krishna. Everyone has a mind, but mine, Krishna, is very big. It's huge. My mind is enormous. It's as big as an elephant, Krishna. As big as an elephant and very strong. It's big and strong like an elephant. No problem, Krishna said. Look at my lotus feet. There is a stick with a point and a hook. And that stick we use for controlling elephants. So, okay. So the mind also under control. Okay. So you mean I have to surrender? I cannot make excuses and say, my karma, my mind. Really? Surrender, Krishna? Kind of have a little more sense gratification until I'm old. Then I will surrender. Tomorrow I will surrender. Tomorrow. Today, one last day. Today is Ekadasi, and I really like Ekadasi Prasad. So, one more day of sense gratification, and then tomorrow I will surrender. Like that, the mind is delaying the execution. Surrender, I'll surrender, okay, surrender. I'll surrender after the class. No. Surrender is now. Not right now. So what does it mean if you surrender now? It means you have to, first of all, sit properly. What to do? And then it goes on. Because Srila Prabhupada in one lecture explains, he says, surrender means to follow all the rules and regulations, not the ones you like. Mm-hmm. It means also everything. Not the ones that are easy for us, but just everything. That is surrender. And we see this in some devotees. So, sometimes we mistake strictness for fanaticism. We think strictness and fanaticism are synonymous, and we think that, some slackness is okay, just be natural. It's naturalness, not natural. We gotta be real. We are persons, and what will oppression accomplish after all? We are human, and we must be natural, and strictness, fanatic. But no, that's not the same as fanaticism. Strictness means to remember Krishna and to act in a way that is pleasing Krishna. But strictness comes from remembering Krishna. Strictness comes from understanding also why Krishna is giving many rules and regulations to follow, and it's all very logical, just like the four regulated principles, or generally it is spoken of the regulated principles of freedom in the Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't say the four, but it says one must follow the regulated principles of freedom. No meat eating, alright, it is not like, hold me back, I want to go to McDonald's, oh please. And three devotees, hold him back, we're going past McDonald's. No, it's not that. But it comes in a more subtle way, when you go to your mother's house, and it's not exactly meat or something like that. It's just something that's cooked in a pot that's not really okay, but what can you do? Mom cooked it, and hallelujah, and just go for it. Alright. But it has an effect. Right? It has an effect on the consciousness. But one must be careful. One must be careful. These things, and one point I often make, because we overlook it, is that just as devotional service comes in seed form, sinful attachment or new anattas in the heart also come in seed form. So they come in the form of a seed in the heart, and then they develop and fructify later. Just like next to the bhakti plant, there are all these unwanted creepers. So the bhakti plant grows from a seed, and the unwanted creepers also from a seed. So let us in being not so strict, you know, Bollywood is so good. I don't know. No problem. And we are watching, and there is no problem at all. No, we don't have any material desire from this Bollywood movies. Nothing. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. Because the seeds are entering into the consciousness and they will fructify later. So strictness is not just an attitude, strictness also is intelligence, is seeing with long-term vision, is not underestimating Maya. Maya is not what you call a pushover. It's not like, okay, you know, I'm chanting 16 rounds now, jump on. Yeah. It's easy, you know. I mean, chanting 16 rounds and taking initiation next week, you know, nothing to worry about. It's all under control. Should be right, you know. Right, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Right. What can Maya do to me? Lots of things. After all, they also have, you know, what I call the bhakti. The Bhakti Romeo and Bhakti and Juliet with Radha and Krishna in the background. So we have so many things also in Krishna consciousness, so much distraction. On the other hand, the Grihastha Ashram, that is different, because that is within Krishna's protection. When we remain within Krishna's instructions, we are protected. Only then. See, Maya is such that without protection there is no question that we can ever overcome it. Daivya Sukuna Mahi Mamana Yadurateya Amevye Pavante Maya Mitam Tarantate. Maya is so powerful, only by taking shelter of Krishna can she be overcome. So this is to be remembered at all times. So therefore strictness is not synonymous with fanaticism. Strictness means to keep oneself safe on the spiritual platform. If we want to make it to the finish, then we have to be very careful to keep ourselves safe on the spiritual platform at all times. It's like one can, in the beginning of the race, it's a long race, in the beginning one can run a glorious race. Everyone's like, whoa, amazing, and somehow or other, you don't become proud and everything works. And still, even later on the path, one can still slip. So, one must always keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. We need to associate with Krishna. Chanting and hearing are emphasized as being most important in the whole process of devotional service. We can do so many things in devotional service. We can clean the floor for Krishna. We can wash the car or whatever. We can do shopping for Krishna. We can do bookkeeping for Krishna. We can manage temples for Krishna. We can make phone calls for Krishna. We can play with a computer all day for Krishna. Like that, we can do many things for Krishna. But hearing and chanting are different, because hearing and chanting means to deal with Krishna directly. Otherwise, we are dealing with Krishna's energy for Krishna. And that is fine. And in that way, that energy becomes transcendental, and we become purified. That same energy that would first bind us in the material energy, that same energy now liberates us. That very same material energy. So we can do business for Krishna and just as before, you know, cheat a little bit and give the profit to Krishna. That's business, you know, business. That's part of business. You just don't tell people everything, even if you don't lie. You make it look better than it is. That is called selling things. That's not business. That's not cheating. That's just selling. So there's an inherent element of cheating in business. But that goes on, and still one gets purified. Still purified if we do it in the service of Krishna. So that is very nice. We can take things from the material world. You know, you can take like a camera with a lens of 2 meters long and take pictures left and right, and just and be attached to your camera, and it's okay as long as you make pictures for Krishna. No problem. Because the attachment to Krishna will become stronger and stronger through that means. So that is all right. But it doesn't. It's not of the same caliber as hearing and chanting. Because hearing and chanting means to associate with Krishna directly.
Arjun Saka Prabhu is calling.
Hare Krishna. So hearing and chanting is associating directly with Krishna, and that there we'll naturally discover Krishna's qualities, Krishna's nature, and in that way we'll directly cultivate our attraction to Krishna. So we need this. Therefore, all service has to be preceded by chanting and followed by chanting always. And everything begins with hearing about Krishna. So these we have to invest in, very much so. And these are the things that are difficult for us because, you know, sometimes you say, I really like Krishna consciousness. I am totally into it, but I have one problem, chanting. Chanting, so difficult. Why? Because for so many births, we have been engaged on the sensual platform. We've been engaging our senses. And now we just change that around. And we just use our senses in the service of Krishna. So we keep on doing the same thing, but now do it for Krishna. So that comes easy. That's easy. But chanting, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Like, and hearing and reading, I just don't have time, you know. I just don't have time. I have time for everything else. I have time to speak for hours on the phone to everyone. Right? I mean, one solution would be just chuck away your phone. Right? Throw away your phone. And if you do that, then suddenly you have so much time, and that time you can read the Bhagavad Gita. Because all that time that you usually spend on the phone, if it adds up in the day, how many hours spend on the phone? Blah, 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 blah. And so that would give reading time. Just see. So like that, it's just an excuse to say we have no time. It is an excuse. It means we don't make time. One has to make time. The other day, you know, I was sort of mentioning the point that some people say, yeah, but no, no, but I have to work, Maharaj. I have to work. And my answer to that is, nobody asked you to work. You're working because you wanted to. I have to maintain my family. Yes, you wanted a family. We didn't tell you to get a family. It wasn't. We never told you that. You wanted one, and then you had to work, and you got a job, because you wanted a house and a car and a latest phone, and so many other things. You know. So yeah, that's, and then you have to pay.
You could have also chosen to live a very simple, humble life and just do service in the temple full time. And just eat whatever you get. That's also available. Then you have more time. So we have to see that if we are in a position where we have no more time, well, maybe it's time to change that position. We say, I have no time to read in my life. Accept it. But maybe we have maneuvered ourselves in a position in the material world where we really have no time. And maybe it's time to get out of there. Get out of that miserable position. What can be said, you know? And sacrifice something. Because all that work is maintaining our sense gratification. That house with the 27 rooms and the flat TV screen. If by karma you can get it without too much endeavor, no problem. But Prabhupada said that actually one shouldn't work more than 6 hours for his maintenance. Tell that to your boss. One should live with what one can generate from that. Well, let's say 30 hours a week. So, okay. Maybe we can go in that direction. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe the day after tomorrow. So that we have some time to read. And you might say, well, I used to read a lot, Maharaj. I really used to read a lot before I joined the temple. And then I never read again. Because there's so much service, they just don't give you a minute. Okay, granted. Then you have to fight. Fight. Rebel. Revolution. This is authorized. It is bona fide. This is the one thing where you are allowed to rebel and say, I need time to read. I've got too much service. That's where one has too much service. Then it becomes over endeavor. If due to other service we can no longer hear and chant, that's over endeavor. That's what over endeavor begins. So we have no excuse. My lecture is not about revolution. Some people say, he said rebel, let's go. No. My lecture is about doing a lot of service, but my lecture is also about making time for hearing and chanting, so that we can, in combination of hearing and chanting and serving, hear about Krishna, his qualities, his pastimes, become attracted to Krishna, and by making sacrifice and service, sacrifice our sense gratification, and become naturally drawn towards Krishna instead of always pushing ourselves to be Krishna conscious, which is difficult. We must be drawn to Krishna by discovering his wonderful qualities. How wonderful is Krishna? Krishna's qualities. We must know them. We must study them. We must meditate upon them. In that way, Krishna consciousness will become very natural and very easy. Any questions? Any
comments? Would you like to tell us something?
I don't know. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the incarnation of Vyasadeva, and therefore every word that comes from Vrindavan Das Thakur is full of spiritual potency. So therefore it's Very nice. He wrote a Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta mentioned that he wanted that his disciples would read it 100 times. So that's quite some. Chaitanya Charitamrita also, by the way, 100 times. So that's what I wanted to say about Vrindavan's Thakur.
How much should we read, do you recommend? Where should we read?
You should read according to the directions of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says, Pivarta Bhagavatam Rasamadayam. He says this, Pivarta Bhagavatam Rasamadayam means one should drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says the two syllables Laya. Laya refers to one of the ecstatic symptoms, fainting. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says you should read the Bhagavatam until you faint. But when you're fainted, you cannot read the Bhagavatam anymore. He says then when you come back to your senses, then you should read the Bhagavatam again until you faint again. And in this way you should read it. That's what the Acharya said. You asked the question.
Can we call it two treasures?
No. That's one thing you can call it. You can call it many things. You can call it ecstasy. You can call it you can call it being absorbed. Yeah, well, we're always working with the senses because for many lifetimes you've engaged with sense gratification. And therefore, the chanting requires that we fix the mind. And we can't fix the mind. It's very difficult. Because the mind is attached to the senses and we're used to do things with the senses. So we're used to, like, what am I seeing then? What am I smelling? Fresh baked bread. What's that? Oh, nice sound. Like that. We are always, our attention is very much focused on the senses. Therefore, the 64 items of bhakti, of sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, are engaging the senses. You know, I can also explain it by a palmist tree. I've done that before, so some may know the tree. But you can look in your hand, okay? And you can have the fingers, three levels, and you can look where there's reddishness. Okay? Now, the lowest level of the fingers represents the sensual platform. The middle represents the mental platform, and the top represents the intellectual platform. So if they're reddish at the bottom, then you are like a gross sense gratifier. If they're ready in the middle, you're totally mental. If they're ready at the top, very intellectual. And when the whole hand is red, then it means you're completely agitated. I can tell you more about this if you want to know about it. Anyway, so we are still on the sensual platform. We are not dhira, you know. We are not like just completely calm and unaffected. We're constantly affected. If some object of sense gratification goes, you know, we follow it with our eyes. It's like, well, you know, or the opposite, you know. We immediately close our eyes. And that's also still being attracted to the objects of sense gratification. Therefore, you know, we cannot
be deeply absorbed in our chanting yet. So we engage the senses in the service of Krishna. And then we do that with the computer fight. And then it becomes easier to chant. There are no hard and fast rules, you know, like you cannot generalize, you know what I'm saying? But if there are always individual situations which require a different approach. So there's not one preaching strategy for everyone. Okay? But in general, you don't have to immediately put everything, all the prohibitions of Krishna consciousness in a newcomer's face. You know, you can sort of slowly begin and say, like, how about vegetarian? And you know, maybe if you tell too much all at once, it may be hard to digest. Sometimes we have to tell, and sometimes it's necessary to shock someone, like cold water, you know. You know, sometimes it's necessary, you know, like to say some people they live like dogs, right? And you know, and Prabhupada would sometimes just say strong things. So that is there. But in general, it's like this. Krishna is in the front seat and the regulative principles in the back. They sit in the back. So first Krishna, first devotional service, first engage in service, engage people in service, get them to chant, etc. And then follow with the regulative principles. That's the general strategy. And Prabhupada follows, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda followed, right? He went all over Bengal chanting Hare Krishna. And then only later, quite some time later, did regulative principles come. So Lord Nityananda is the original preacher in Bengal. So we are like that, preaching. But sometimes you have to be straight. If someone is a drunk, you know, you can tell them. Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you what it happened to me. I mean, I confess I was very drunk for some time. And One day a stranger comes to me and he just gives me this big lecture. You're ruining your life. You know, and a whole lecture, a whole moral lecture. Right? And I was so shocked because I thought, first of all, I didn't even know the guy. Right? I mean, why is a stranger speaking to me like this? I must look really bad, I was thinking. I must be bad when even strangers begin to see it. You know what I'm saying? I must be really out of it, my God. It shocked me. So he shocked me. So sometimes you have to shock someone. Yeah. And they're just too much in a fallen way of life. It's good to stop for a moment and try to understand it. Yeah. Then you can make a note, you know. You just make a note, okay, 1842. And then later you can ask a question. That is good. But then we carry on. Things may not be clear to us. And then it's good to ask questions about that. We save questions for later. And that is fine. That's good. It's good to clarify. Also, there are some books that explain, like, for example, if you read the Bhagavatam, Bhurijana did the study guide for the first four cantos. Very good book. And he explains it. So if you don't understand, you can look it up there also. So, okay. Oh, that's what I meant. Because Bhurijana Prabhu is good at that, because he is he was a teacher by nature. That was his profession. And then when he came to ISKCON, he became a curriculum writer. So he's extremely good in teaching. That's The Art of Teaching is another book he wrote. He knows how to teach. And I know him very well because we lived together for many, many years in Vrindavan. So his book, he has Surrender Unto Me about the Bhagavad Gita. And the other one, Unveiling His Lotus Feet for the Bhagavatam. Those two books are very useful, very helpful. I can recommend that. Oh, Dr.
Kirti. You were mentioning about some of these signs of Krishna's lotus feet.
Krishna's lotus feet, yes.
So, what about you? Want to do something on victory flag?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these things are there. There's many things on Krishna's feet. But that would be a seminar. And because it's almost breakfast time, I want to enter into all the symbols of Krishna's feet. Some of it. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.